visiting with Sam Knox with the IHSA on this 10th day of June. And I know before we started rolling tape today, Sam Knox looked at that calendar again, and I didn't realize this, but he said, you know, 2 months from today is supposed to be the first official day of fall sports practices, football, cross country, golf, you name it in the fall. And please tell me there'll be practices on August the 10th. I know everybody is surely hoping for that.
And no doubt, Jim, I pray every day that we have a regular school year and fall, winter, and spring sports next school year, just like we've always had, just to get back to some sense of normal routine.
And I know, you know, as I talk to ADs and coaches and administrators within the IHSA, really the only thing we've been doing since March is looking at the calendar and trying to figure out, well, we're checking this day off, we're checking this week off, we're checking this month off. And, you know, that's the agonizing part of all of this. And hopefully maybe there's some more clarity later this month if the state can get, most parts of the state can get to that phase four of the Restore Illinois plan, where then you have the hope of getting back to school. And then maybe you can get some, you know, team organized activities going maybe in July with contact days. But the calendar thing has to be so agonizing for everyone involved in this thing since, you know, the middle of March this year.
It sure has, and you're right. We've been doing a lot of calendar watching and playing out timelines and when we make decisions on this part or that part, or coming up with plan B, C, D, all the way to plan Z sometimes. And, you know, I had a call yesterday from a very concerned dad about the school year, and he was asking, are we going to have a school year? Well, I don't know. Are we going to have sports? We don't know yet. So the hardest part about this whole thing is not only the calendar watching, like you mentioned, but there are so many really good questions out there and questions that need to be answered. But unfortunately, we don't have immediate answers to a lot of those questions right now. We still have to wait and see what the next few weeks and couple months look like.
And I think the big thing, though, that happened late last week, and I know the, you know, local schools are putting their finishing touches on their return to play guidelines based on input with their local health departments. But, you know, even though you can't get the football out or the basketball out or whatever and do that type of, you know, team-related stuff, still the strength and conditioning and speed workouts, and I know we're talking about, you know, basically pods of 10 kids or less, but at least giving them something and even giving the coach something from a mental standpoint that, yeah, we are making progress here going forward, and that, to me, is important to give the kids hope that, yeah, when August rolls around, you're going to get a season. So how important is that first step that is being taken here this week?
Well, we believe it's vital. And we know that no matter what the IHSA decides on any topic, you're going to have those who really agree and those who really disagree and a lot of people somewhere in the middle. And some people maybe don't like this plan. They think we should get balls and bats and play some scrimmages right away. But we've got to realize that many of these kids have had very little to no physical activity for over 2 months. And it's, you know, kind of almost starting from scratch and starting over and getting them back in shape and doing some running and stretching and having their bodies go through that soreness period of a couple of days of getting back in shape. And we're going to take it slow, and we know that eventually we'll get back to the chance where they can get equipment out and hit blocking sleds and throw a football and pass a volleyball and soccer ball and all that good stuff that everybody loves to do. But we've got to take baby steps here at the beginning to make sure we're doing this the right way.
And, you know, I don't know if you look at most of the sports that the IHSA is involved in. I think there's some wiggle room, you know, with a calendar and with a schedule. But I think football is one of those sports where, I don't know, is there any wiggle room with the way the calendar is set up for a football season where you have 9 weeks and you have 5 weeks of the playoffs? Is there any wiggle room for, you know, most other, you know, fall sports, we can finagle a little bit, the cross-country schedule or the soccer schedule maybe a little bit, even golf. But you know, football's a different kind of animal scheduling-wise, and we talk about conference affiliation and all that type of stuff that comes into play. I mean, is there much wiggle room when you look at a high school football season?
Yeah, that seems to be a really big, major question that our board of directors will have to address at some point. No, again, hopefully, 2 months from today, everybody's starting fall sports and we're full speed ahead. But if we're not, yeah, we certainly have to consider some other options, especially for football. Like you said, over the course of a 35-game volleyball season, if you miss the first couple weeks of volleyball and you miss 4 or 5 matches, it's not that big of a deal because you've still got 30 some to play. But football with only 9 games, if you miss 1 or 2 at the beginning of the season because the season is delayed, that really puts you in a tough spot. You know, we'll have to decide at some point if we get to this, do we keep the state finals on Thanksgiving weekend? Is it possible to bump the state finals back a week later or 2 weeks later to make sure everybody gets 9 games and a full playoffs in? Or do we just keep the state finals where it is on Thanksgiving weekend and say, well, we're going to delay the season by 2 weeks and maybe everybody just chops off the first 2 games of their schedule and you only play 7 games? I don't know. Again, I've told many people, you've got to realize nobody has ever been down this road before. And it's a little bit nervous and scary to go down a road when you're kind of making the map literally as you drive down the road. But at the same time, it's exciting because we've seen so many teachers and coaches and school people do a lot of really cool and neat things with their kids on social media, the graduation parades and the graduation signs and yards and virtual things they've done and online learning. It's been really refreshing to see some new ideas and the creativity. But boy, I know we all want to go back to the normal way of doing things as soon as we can.
Yeah, and I think people too, they don't realize the equation that is involved here, because I know, you know, you're talking about Illinois State Board of Education, you're talking about Illinois Department of Public Health, you're talking about the governor, you're talking about local member schools, and you're talking about the Illinois High School Association. That's a tough equation, and especially when you're dealing with the size of the state of Illinois and the different geography that's in play. Because I always tell people, you know, walk a mile or a million miles in the shoes of some of these people that are trying to put something together so that we can have high school sports, not knowing that it's, hey, well, it's up to the IHSA. They're saying they're just going to say, voila, we can play August 10th. Well, no, they can't make that decision without decisions from other agencies or other state bodies. So the, you know, dealing with the equation of all of this too has to be such a tremendous challenge.
Yeah, it's been beyond challenging, and it's for our staff members, it's led to a lot of nervousness and anxiousness and sleepless nights and again making contingency plans upon plans to try to guess about all the what ifs that could happen. But you're right, it takes a lot of people to get this whole train going in the right direction, because believe me, if the IHSA could, I believe we would wave the magic wand and say, we're going to start fall sports on August 10th, and here we go, just like normal. But we know that's not reality in this time, and we have to keep in perspective, too. The IHSA is only here because schools exist. So the school piece has to come first. And I know there's a lot of people out there who believe, including our staff, that if we don't have school, it's going to be really hard to justify how can we bring kids on campus to practice and play their sports. And deep down inside, I think everybody would say, yeah, that's a good point. You've got to have school first before you can do the sports piece. So you're right. It takes a lot of people from a lot of different agencies, the government, the State Board of Education, the IHSA, and many other groups that are involved in this that have to cooperate and do the best they can to plan. And again, situations we've never been put in before. We can't call somebody up from 10 or 20 years ago and say, hey, how'd you guys do this back in 1997 when this happened? Because nobody has those answers, but we're trying the best we can, and we'll get back to normal as soon as we can, we hope.
Yeah, and I know there are a lot of internal talks when you talk about basically everything in play, you know, in terms of what high school sports are going to look like in Illinois when and if they resume. And I know one of the big questions I get is, you know, some parts of the state they're going to be more along in this Restore Illinois plan than some other parts of the state are. And the big question is, will you know, metropolitan Chicago schools be ready to return to class in August? Can they get to whatever phase is needed to have return to play guidelines? So, you know, the question always begs is, can the IHSA do interscholastic athletics for three quarters of the state, and then one quarter of the state can't do high school sports just because the COVID-19 numbers in the Restore Illinois plan will not allow them to return to school. So has there been more discussion on that type of issue where, you know, could the state, by the state I mean the IHSA, proceed with high school sports in some areas of the state, and then some areas of the state just aren't going to be able to do it?
Yeah, that's a great point that we've kicked around our office quite a bit through some of our staff meetings in recent weeks. But just today, our director, Craig Anderson, sent a survey to superintendents, principals, athletic and activity directors to gauge their thoughts on exactly what you just brought up, Jim, is what if we get to a point where certain parts of the states are open and going back to school and playing their sports and doing their regular thing, but other parts of the state are not. What is that going to look like? Should we have a certain percentage of schools involved before we have a state finals? If in certain sports, let's say we only have 46% of the schools participating, is it okay to not have a state champion and just maybe have a sectional champion for that area of the state? And so we're seeking a lot of feedback from our membership, because just like a school is set up, just like, you know, Mercer County or Sherrard or Fulton or Mendon Unity or wherever, they have a local school board, and the school board makes the really important decisions on the really big topics. And we feel that these are really big topics that our board of directors has to have some input on and make those important decisions. So we're gathering that data and survey feedback from our membership over the next week, and then we'll share that information with our staff and our board to make those important decisions. And we certainly, again, we hope we don't have to make them, and hopefully everybody's open and going, but somewhere in the back of our minds tells us that we're probably going to have to face some situations where certain parts of the state might be going full speed and certain parts of the state might still be in phase four and maybe have some restrictions where we have to consider, you know, what do we do if this area of the state, they can't play football? What do we do if this area of the state can? So those are big things, again, that we'll get feedback from our membership and see where we go from there.
Man, that's tough to have to make that decision. But that won't be ready by the turnaround on that. It's not going to be ready by the June 15th board meeting, I assume, right?
Correct. Yeah, Craig sent that out to schools today, so he's given them a week to get back to us, so we won't have feedback from them, all the feedback, until about a week from today, which will be past the June board meeting. And typically we don't have a July board meeting, but we will likely have some type of board meeting in July, just because these hot topics are still going to be hot in July, and we'll need to address some things that come up through those surveys. And whatever else might happen, you know, something may happen tomorrow that were totally unexpected, and we have to reconsider our options and say, oh yeah, now we have to consider this. So this is all new territory, and when we're doing the best we can and trying to take input from as many stakeholders as we can, because even though our staff has experience in a lot of this stuff, we certainly don't have experience in what's going on right now. No one has ever had to face the possibility of, well, what if certain parts of the state can play volleyball and certain parts can't, and things like that. So we are not going to make those decisions as a staff. We want input from the entire 800 plus membership of the IHSA to see what, you know, see what the membership thinks and where we go from there.
And then the fan component of all that, the equation, you know, and I know I've talked to some of the IHSA stakeholders before, and I guess maybe the COVID-19 restrictions would dictate some of that, where, I mean, is there the distinct possibility that you could have high school sports without fans in attendance, at least with the initial startup? Is that something that's on the table too?
Yeah, I think almost every idea is still on the table right now, and who knows what that will look like. But I think that's a possibility. I don't know how realistic that is to say, yep, we're going to have a JV football game tonight, but nobody can come watch. Or we're going to have a cross country meet and nobody can come watch. It was just this, I think of that because I have three kids myself, and I just can't imagine a parent dropping their child off for a soccer game and saying, hey, good luck tonight, hon. I'll go home and I'll watch it on the computer through the NFHS network, and I'll come back and get you in about 3 hours. I mean, that's going to kill some parents. Yeah. Not literally, of course, but it's as a parent, you enjoy watching your child do what they love to do. But if parents aren't able to watch, the good news is a lot of things are televised now through the NFHS network or a YouTube channel or some connection the school has. So that's a positive, but boy, that'll put a lot of stress and pressure on the local administration to have to let people know that you can't come to the game or only certain people can come, and what that whole thing looks like. So let's hope we don't have to get to that point, but that's, to answer your question, I think that is a possibility in some areas.
And then I was thinking too, as you're talking, I mean, when you talk about everything on the table as it relates to a pandemic, I mean, is there the possibility where, hey, we can only do these sports, like you mentioned cross country, or you mentioned golf, which social distancing guidelines are a lot easier than lining up 11 on 11 in football and tackling one another, where you could do some sports. We're going to be able to do these sports, but we just can't do these sports. Is that something that, I mean, that would really be tough to say that we can do these sports, but we can't do these sports. But is that something that I guess could be considered?
I think that'll be considered at some point.
Oh, man.
And no doubt about it, that would be probably some of the toughest decision making right there is, well, which sports stay and which sports take a year off? That would be, some really gut wrenching discussions and decisions to be made if that's what it eventually comes to.
Yeah. Man, I tell you, there's a lot in play here. And then I was thinking, I was talking about probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was talking to Dr. Carissa Niehoff, the executive director of the National Federation of State High School Associations, and speaking specifically as it relates to the border communities, you know, here in Mercer County. You know, I can drive down Route 17, get on the Muscatine Blacktop, and be in Muscatine, Iowa, in next Monday, watch a baseball game, you know, with the Iowa High School Athletic Association. You know, and that's the other component of all this where, you know, you look at some of these border communities where this geography comes into play and you say, well, man, I'm a stone's throw away from eastern Iowa and they're letting kids play high school baseball and softball, but we can't. And I know from then the IHSA standpoint, I'm sure you hear a little bit of blowback saying, well, man, they're letting... We seriously can't play in Illinois. They're playing over in eastern Iowa, or they're playing in Indiana, or they're going to play in Wisconsin. And we can't play interscholastic athletic sports here, interscholastic athletics here in Illinois. So I know that has to be a frustrating topic of conversation, too, for the people in your office when you know, well, some other states are, it looks like they're going to move forward with high school sports. But right now in Illinois, our hands are tied.
Yeah, we've had discussions about that topic as well. And we hear that from... Well, we've had phone calls from parents and some media folks and even some school people who have said, well, what about Iowa? What about Missouri? What about Indiana, Wisconsin, Kentucky, all of our neighboring states? And we're starting to hear, unfortunately, that some families are considering moving across the border, transferring to a school in another state because they're uncertain about what the fall might look like in Illinois. And we don't feel at the IHSA that we're in position to go against what the government is telling us about the different phases of recovery. That we're in phase three right now, gatherings of no more than 10 people. Phase four says no gatherings of no more than 50 people and certain restrictions in place there. So we feel like we need to follow those government directions. And other states have different plans and good for them. And again, I certainly hope, I've told many people that I hope all of our neighboring states have tremendous success with their reopening plans this summer and letting kids get back to play in their sports and activities. So maybe our government leadership can look at that and say, well, look at what's going on in Missouri or Indiana or wherever, and they're having success and their infection numbers aren't going up. So maybe we can loosen up our restrictions just a little bit to kind of follow the lead of our neighboring states. That's what I hope on the personal level, because, you know, you've heard it, and we know that summer softball, baseball teams, other groups are starting to cross the river to go play in Iowa or tournaments in Missouri. And they're saying, hey, when we go to Missouri, it's life as normal. Nobody's wearing a mask. People are out to eat at restaurants. We're sitting by people at ball games watching our kids do their thing. Why is Illinois so slow to jump on that bandwagon? And I don't have the answer to that, but we're going with the government directions as they are now, and we'll continue to do that until hopefully we get back to normal in the fall.
All right, I've taken enough of your time, but I'm going to end it on a positive note. You know, the two things that to me are positive right now is the return to play guidelines that schools are piecing their plans together here probably this week. I know some schools are already started with their strength and conditioning and speed stuff as early as Monday. Other schools I know are fine-tuning that. So that's exciting that there's some hope and we're doing some things again. And I think the other neat thing is there's going to be a big story next week with the IHSA, the board meets, and it looks like, I don't know if you're going to do that virtually yet. I don't think that's been decided or in person, but you know, it looks like a final decision is going to be made on the state basketball tournaments and next year. And I'll tell everybody we'll have a basketball season next school year. And so the new format goes into play next year where there's just going to be one state tournament weekend for girls basketball and one state tournament weekend for boys basketball, and the contract sites are going to be awarded Monday. And I think Peoria, they're bidding for both boys and girls. Redbird wants the girls back, and U of I, they want to get the boys basketball state tournament. So I think there's a lot of interest, and we'll really get a big high school sports story sometime next week, it looks like. So that's good.
I like your positive outlook. We all need a little bit of more positivity in our lives these days, no doubt about it. But yeah, it's a big board meeting next Monday, June 15th. It's the agenda is loaded with a lot of important decisions to make, including the basketball state finals bid situation that you just discussed. And we are really looking forward to hopefully a normal school year where we can roll out the new basketball postseason format where all four classes of girls are going regional, sectional, state finals at the same time, followed by the boys. It'll be a really neat, we think it'll be a neat weekend of basketball state finals to see all four classes, especially that championship Saturday with watching four championship games back to back. We really think that's going to be a really special event and a special occasion for the schools that are participating, but the fans. And you know, looking back to March, the only word I can come up with is it was really sad when we canceled the tournament, and our board made the right decision, no doubt about it. But just knowing that the fans and the teams and the kids and everybody, the excitement around our March Madness, they didn't get to experience the full spectrum of what that was all about. And we're really looking forward to getting back to that next year, hopefully, and going through it in a new way, but the same old March Madness from the IHSA that people have come to expect.
Yeah, I was talking to a football coach over the weekend, and he guaranteed me that there would be a high school football season in the fall. I won't make you, Sam Knox, say that this morning with us here, but I just hope that 2 months from today, kids have to get up early in the morning and head out to their respective fall sports practice and get ready for the fall of 2020. Appreciate your time. I know a lot to consider, but thanks for the input today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. We're looking forward to hopefully a normal fall this season. And yeah, no predictions from me, but I'll go with the coach that you mentioned that made a prediction that we will have a football season. I like his positive outlook on the situation, and we all hope that a few Friday nights from now we're all enjoying high school football and all the other sports in the fall like we've always come to do. So thanks for your coverage, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.
All right, you're listening to WMJ and WMJ.com.